You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord. Father, we do want to know you more. So we surrender our hearts because, Lord, you will not despise a surrendered heart, a broken and contrite heart. And so, Father, this morning we do pray and ask that you would inhabit the praises of your people. And, Lord, that we are your people, that you would cleanse us, that you would refresh us, that you would make us new. And Father, we thank you that in all these things, we can praise you for your faithfulness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, good morning. How y'all doing? Hey, I want to remind you, I know Vanessa mentioned it, but today after second service, if you've been coming to HBC in the last 3 months, you're new, basically new, we want to meet with you. Some of the leadership, we'll have sandwiches and stuff so you can have lunch. We'll break bread together. So that's going to be after second service. So if you want to come back, that would be awesome because we'd love to meet you. I don't always get that opportunity. Also, if you're going to Israel, starting next Sunday, we will have a meeting every Sunday until we leave so we can pray and talk. And we've got a lot to talk about this next Sunday. So please don't miss it. Next Sunday after service, we'll meet right here in the sanctuary. All right, one last thing. And this is kind of a personal thing. And I hope that you will understand this. How many of you are my Facebook friends? Okay, good. Quite a few of you. Awesome. Well, if you see, I have like, I don't know, 1,500 friends or something like that. And there's a lot of these spam things that come out. Like, I don't know how many I received. Your account has been hacked and all this stuff. It's not true. And one was that, you know, everybody, almost everyone's account is being hacked. Look, I know that you love me and you care about me and you care about your friends. But not all these things are true, or else, how about this one? Pass this on to 20 of your friends, and you will be blessed by God. It's like, I'm sorry, show me that in Scripture. Listen, I'll be blessed if I walk in obedience to God. So let me encourage you this. I'm not trying to be mean, but my wife and I, we get a lot of emails. We get a lot of people needing prayer, people having questions. Don't forward those things. Listen, I am very on top of technology. I'm a technology geek. I'm a geek, okay? I am. I'm a cool geek. Got it, but a geek. So you don't have to tell me. I already know. If something's going on, I'll let you know. And you'll know that it's a fact and not just spam that someone, oh, well, someone sent it to me. Good for you. Send it to someone else. I don't want it. Here's what will happen. If you keep sending me that, I'm going to block you because I'd rather deal with the people who need prayer and need Bible questions answered. And I don't need to know that there's this, you know, whatever. I love you. And I want to keep you as a friend. So don't send me that until you're sure that it's fact. You saw it on CBS and ABC and Fox News. You've seen it on all the news broadcasts. It's going crazy. It's on the... Then, you know what? I'll probably already know anyway, so you don't need to send it to me. So there you go. All right, if you would please open your Bible to Romans chapter 14. We only made it four verses, but I'm going to rewind a little bit. And so we'll be looking at... this will be Free Indeeds, part two. And we'll look at verse 3 through 6, be peaceable. 7 through 11, be praising, and 12 through 13, be productive. And if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Let me pray one more time. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you for your love and mercy and grace. And Father, right now, Lord, may your word come alive. Holy Spirit, teach us. because we need to learn. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled the message, Free Indeed. If you weren't here last week, I'm going to give you a little bit of background what I mean by this. Of course, when I say free indeed, you think of free indeed, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. But that means surely, you are definitely free. Surely, you can count on it, you can bank on it. But what I'm talking about, you are free indeed. We are free in the things we do. And what does this mean? Well, it means that you can do whatever you want. And that offends some people. They're like, wait, how can you be a Christian and do whatever you want? Listen, I didn't say that sin wouldn't have a consequence. If you want to engage in sin, you're free to do that. But then, if you end up with a disease or in jail or broke or a broken family, you can't blame God because His Word has told you what you can do in order to ensure that you will have a life of blessings. But I want you to hang this on your belt so that you don't just think that Pastor Randy's making stuff up. Once again, I want you to hang 1 Corinthians 6:12 on your belt. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's going to be incredibly important because I'm also going to look at, I had some questions asked. Actually, quite a few questions asked to me after last week's message. If you didn't hear it, I highly recommend you go online and listen to it if you weren't here. Now, remember, in chapter 13 and in chapter 12, in the previous chapter, Paul has been telling us that if we have love for God, it'll cause us to love one another. And that we should be constantly awaiting His return. So as we move through our verses, keep that in mind, that if we love God, it will tell me how I should respond. I'll respond out of a love for God. And if I love God, I will have a love for you. And if I love loving God and loving you, I'm also expecting and preparing for God, for Jesus Christ's return. If I think that Jesus Christ is going to return at any time, it's going to change the things that I do today and right now. So, let's, real quick, I just want to read verse 1 and 2 and 3, and then we will begin to pick it apart from there on. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak only eats vegetables. So, when he says receive, that means we're not to ostracize. We're not to put people out. In fact, we are to build one another up in faith. He says, those who are weak in the faith. And I pointed out last week, when it says you are weak in the faith, it still says you're in the faith. You're just not strong. So we shouldn't ostracize those who are weak in the faith. If you see someone who's caught in sin, don't ostracize them. Come alongside them and love on them and encourage them. Anyways, I got a lot to cover. I was about to tell you a cool story, but I'm going to have to move on. Then again, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. And I made some jokes last week, but really this isn't about the vegetables. This is really about the person who says, oh, no. Listen, you can only eat vegetables. You can. Or if another person, he could have put the one who is weak only eats meat. It's not the meat. It's not the vegetables. It's the only. It's the legalism. And we're going to pick that apart quite a bit as we move through here. So keep that in mind. Okay, be peaceable. Verse 3 through 6. And of course, we covered verse 3 last week. But I want to get a running start. It says, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. In other words, he's being very clear here. Be peaceable. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Don't make a big deal out of someone's freedoms. And we talked about a few different freedoms, like, for instance, The rapture, you know, some people believe in the rapture being mid and post tribulation. Listen, whatever you believe, we can have fellowship. Someone says, hey, you know, I smoke. Well, you know what? The scripture doesn't speak about smoking. It's not good for you. But you know what? Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Doesn't mean you go, how you dress in church. We talked about that. We talked about dancing, you know. Listen, find me in the scripture where it says, thou shalt not do the Macarena. You can't find it. You can't find it. You can't. So we have that freedom. And of course, we really talked a lot about worship. Now, in church, we do handpick worship, because our worship shouldn't be from one to another, shouldn't be a pep rally. It must be us praising God for what he's done. And so, but if you like rock worship or country worship or hymn worship or modern worship or bongo worship, as long as you're worshiping the Lord, and you'll see that as we go through here. Once again, let's read again. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Once again, it's up to God who calls us. God the Father calls us. It's up to the Son to save us, God the Son. And it's up to God the Holy Spirit to convict us. Do you realize that? Let me repeat this. It's up to God the Father to save us, to call us, to draw us. It's up to God the Son to save us. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict us, to chasten us, to correct us. Imagine this. You have children. Some of you don't have to imagine. And one of your children decides to discipline the other child and begins to spank the child for something he's done wrong. You're like, hold on there, little Joan Crawford. Chill out. Some of you got that. That's all right. Listen, it's not good for a child, one of your children, to start disciplining the other child. Why? That's not their responsibility. Yet we, as children in the Lord, oftentimes try to discipline each other. Not good. Oh, thanks. That's all right. These don't look cool. I'll struggle. Thank you. These are for private reading. Yes, I'm vain. Okay. So it's not cool for one child to begin spanking. But you know what is cool? When you overhear your children and one of the children says, hey, you shouldn't do that. Dad's not going to be happy if you do that. If mom finds out, then you won't be happy. That's cool. A little correction, a little reminder of who's in charge. As Christians, it's good for me to come alongside you or for you to come alongside me and say, hey, listen, how is Jesus going to feel if you continue to do that? What is your witness going to be like to others? See, that's loving. But if I just start beating you over the head with the Bible, that's like one child beating the other child. That's not our responsibility. God is the one who does the chastening. So, yes, we have freedom, but we shouldn't, here's the other side, we shouldn't look down the noses of our liberty. Oh, you don't do the Macarena? Come on, Christian, exercise some freedom. No. Listen, if you have a freedom, and I choose not to have that freedom, if you love me and you love God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to respect that freedom. You're going to make a deal about the fact that you have that freedom. In fact, when I go around someone and I have a freedom that they don't have, I don't go, oh gosh, grow up, Christian. No, I just don't mention the fact that I have that freedom because I don't want to stumble them. Why? Because they're restricting themselves. Why are they doing this? They're doing it out of a love for God. Now, here's where it becomes dangerous. If I take a restriction for me, and then I start to tell you, hey, if you don't do this restrictive thing, I've chosen not to have a drink. And you had a drink? Oh, you can't do that. Now I'm becoming legalistic. Now I'm dangerous. But if I just say, you know, I choose not to drink. But if you want to have a drink, go ahead. That's your freedom. See, that's the right heart. That's the right heart. I like to Macarena. You don't want a Macarena? I don't know why I'm stuck on that. We shouldn't look down the noses of our liberty. We shouldn't command what the Bible doesn't command. The Bible doesn't command certain things. In those things, we have freedom. And we shouldn't deny a freedom that the Bible allows. But if you decide not to exercise that freedom, I'm not going to be condescending. So with all that being said, you know what I'm really saying to you? You need to know your Bible. You need to know your Bible. And you say, well, gosh, it's so big. Just start somewhere. Listen, the things that I know now, I didn't know the first couple of years that I was walking with the Lord. And 20 years from now, I'll look back at today and say, God, I was an idiot. But we need to know our Bibles. Now, that brings me to some questions that were asked after last week's message. Someone asked, said, hey, you know what, Pastor? What if I used to be addicted to alcohol, to liquor? You know, I used the term alcoholic, and they said, that's a medical term. It's really not. Alcohol addict means you're addicted to alcohol. It's not a medical term. It's just a term that says you're addicted. Okay. So let's say you used to be an alcoholic, and you say, well, now I'm a Christian. Well, now I want to have a drink. Why? Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. You're playing with fire. That would be the same as, hey, Pastor, you know what? I used to be a heathen. Now I want to go hang out for a weekend with my heathen friends. Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man scoop up a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? That's the New Living Translation. What a great way to put it. No, why do you want to play with fire? Why do you want to run the risk? Why would I want to put, if I know I have a weakness, why am I going to go and put myself in a place where I can fall? That is foolishness. That's called tempting the Lord thy God. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Why would you do that? You have that freedom, though. Isn't that cool? You have that freedom. However, if you exercise that freedom and your life falls apart, don't cry. Don't go, why is this happening to me? You're making the choices. Enjoy. You chose not to go God's way. You chose to exercise the liberty. Now you're wondering why your life is falling apart. I don't know. How about being biblical? Now, legalism. Let me give you a little insight. Legalism. Did you know that legalism is satanic? What? Yeah, it's satanic. Let me prove it to you. What was it that Satan said when he fell? He said, I will be like the Most High God. What is the Most High God? He's creator. Didn't he create us in his image? Did he? Okay. When you and I exercise legalism, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create others in my image. What I think is good and bad. I want you to look like me. I want to be like the Most High God. I want to start creating people who act and look like I do. That's so wrong. Why can't we all just follow what the Bible says? Tradition and opinion should never dictate Christianity. Opinions are what, amen. Opinions are what we hold on to. Convictions are the things that hold on to us. And conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. When my opinion becomes your obligation, now that's legalism. If what I believe now, I begin to pour upon you. Well, I believe you have to be baptized to be saved. I believe you have to be a member of HBC to be saved. I believe you have to, you know, dress a certain way, do a certain thing. Now what's happened is I've become my own God and I want to create you in my image. And now my opinion becomes your obligation. That is legalism. There's another aspect to legalism. How about this? Misery. Misery. What I mean by that is misery loves company. I deny myself this and deny myself that. I don't want to be the only one denying myself the Macarena. I want you, don't you Macarena in front of me. While I'm sitting here in the corner and you're out there having all that Macarena fun. No. See, that's misery. Misery loves company. That also causes legalism. So important that we don't begin to try and create other people in my image. I will restrict myself where the Holy Spirit is convicting me to restrict myself. And if you don't have that restriction, okay. Now, but there are scriptures that are clear that you do not have the freedom in, like telling lies, like stealing, like being drunk, like adultery, like on and on and on. If the scripture's clear, now you're violating scripture. Now I come up to you and I don't beat you with the Bible. I say, hey, this, what you're doing is not pleasing the Lord. Are you okay with the fact that you're not pleasing the Lord? Yes. I'm going to do this. Okay, go ahead. But then when you're crying, when you're wondering why your life isn't going the way it should be going, just know, hear me clear, you chose it. You chose to do things your way. You're your own God. Don't blame God. God, where are you? He's going, where are you? You're the one who went down that path I told you not to go on because you're going to exercise your liberties. No, not good. Yes. You are free in deeds. I am free in deeds. But we also free to reap the consequences. Let's move to verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Wow. I love that. Don't judge. Now, we touched on this briefly last week. Your brothers and sisters, you are a servant of God, or you should be. I am a servant of God. I shouldn't be judging you on how you serve God. Well, I don't think you serve enough. It's not up to me. I need to worry about my servitude. Am I faithful? Am I doing it with the right heart? And we shouldn't dispute over doubtful things. Remember, he started that in the beginning, gray area things. We are to correct and exhort and rebuke, but all of that needs to be done in love. Love of God and love of you as my brother or sister in the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15 says this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we should be living soberly, expecting Jesus to return at any time. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us out of every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Here you go. Zealous. We're to be zealous for good works, not for exercising our freedom and just going to town and sin. And then he says this. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. In other words, if I see you living in sin, I'm going to correct you. If you hate me for it, okay, I'm just loving you. I'm not beating you. I'm just telling you, hey, our dad's not going to be happy with what you're doing. We are to judge sin, those things that are clear-cut in the Bible. And we are to exhort and correct and encourage and rebuke. But we're not to be hypocritical and wag our fingers. You know, remember I also touched on Matthew 7 last week. You hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye so that you can see clearly to help your brother with the speck in his eye. And so we're to be able to examine our own hearts. I have a bigger sin than your sin. Whatever your sin is, my sin is worse. Whatever you've done, I'm the worst sinner I know. And as long as I keep that, I can be compassionate to you. Anyways. Look at this. For God is able to make him stand. The person that you know that's falling into sin, if they are a true believer, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? Convict them. You know what God's going to do? Chasten them. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. The one person you don't understand, the person that you can't stand, will stand before the living God. How cool is that? And it's up to God to sustain me, to sustain you. So I don't freak out. I see someone in sin, I go to them, I talk to them, I encourage them, I'll counsel them. But if they continue to fall, it's not my responsibility, it's his. And if they are true believers, guess what God's going to do? He's going to work it all out. I just need to pray and to love and not to be judgmental. Okay. Recently, I was talking to a young man, and he just opened up. It was like, cool. He just started talking to me and everything. And then he started opening up about his sin. He knew I was a pastor, but he started telling me about his sins. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, in my heart, I didn't say, hey, dude, cool, you're sinning. Way to go. No, I mean, really, this guy was smart. I mean, you could tell he was intelligent. Just a good, nice kid. And with some doubts about God. And we talked for a little while, and then he goes, you know, I've kind of opened up to other pastors, and then they don't want to talk to me anymore. You've been really cool to me. I was like, yeah, man, I've done the exact sins that you're involved in. And I just encourage him, man, just put your eyes on God. Put your eyes on God. Listen, he was more receptive, and he was blown away that I didn't wag my finger at him. I didn't run and tell his folks or do any of that stuff. I just encouraged him. And I could tell he genuinely appreciated why. That was love. I didn't tell him what you're doing is good. I told him this is dangerous, man. You're playing with fire. We need to love those who have fallen in sin. We need to love. And we need to be careful that we don't start to try and make people into our image. But I recognize that we're all free indeed. Verse 5. Oh, here you go. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Paul is willing to leave it up to the conscience of the individual. Now notice he says one day. One day. Remember, he was talking about food, and now he's talking about festival, holy day, special days. And I think the first thing that popped into my mind was the Sabbath. There are churches that say Sabbath is Saturday. Okay, cool. Enjoy your Sabbath. Some churches will say, No, we worship on Sunday. Okay, cool. Some will say, hey, we worship Friday evening because that's the beginning of the Sabbath of Saturday. If you know about Jewish history, the Sabbath actually starts Friday evening. So we get it started right away on Friday. Cool. The problem comes when you start to tell me I have to worship on Friday night. I have to worship on Sunday. I have to worship on Saturday. Then now that's legalism. Now you're trying to create me to be like you. I want to be like him. If you want to worship on Saturday, yay. If you want to worship on Friday, woohoo. If you want to worship on Sunday, welcome. But it's all good. For me, I worship every day. Why? Jesus is my Sabbath. If you want to limit your rest and peace to one day a week, okay. You want to only eat vegetables? Okay, that's what he's talking about. Some only eat vegetables. Some only have one day a Sabbath a week. That's Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have Christ. We can have a Sabbath every single day. And you know what Sabbath is? Rest and fellowship with God. That's what the Sabbath means. A rest and fellowship with God. So I can have rest and fellowship with God every single day. I'll eat vegetables, meat, bread, cheese. Well, look at me. I'll eat it all. Amen. I got some amens. Yeah. That's what he's saying. But here's the thing. If you want to have your Sabbath on some other day, that's okay with me. Just don't get legalistic where you say that's the only way to worship. Seventh-day Adventists are Christians too. They're just caught up in legalism. And that's okay. Just don't start beating people over the head with that belief. We have freedom and we have Christ. Love, here you go. Love will limit liberties. You know what that means? I have liberties. But if you're going to be stumbled by one of my liberties, my love will limit my liberty. There are certain things, liberties that I exercise that I won't post on Facebook. Why? Because it might stumble somebody. And I don't want to do that. Our liberty is not bondage. It's freedom. We have bondage to Christ. And Christ said, if Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. So if I'm bound to Christ, I am free, but our liberty requires responsibility. Responsibility for what? Well, loving God first. Does the liberty I'm going to exercise show God how much I love him? Or does it show how much I want to take license and take freedom? Does my liberty express a love for you and my concern for your heart and your well-being? For my wife, for my kids, for my church, for my friends. The things I do, does it show love for them? Or does it show a lack of love for them? And remember, when it comes to love for Christ, here's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Huh. How about this? If you love others, we won't stumble them or hurt them. If I love you and I know you have a weakness or you have a legalistic heart about a certain thing, I'm not going to stumble you in that. Why would I do that? If you're doing it unto the Lord, then that's a great, great thing. But we, brothers and sisters, here's what's going to help you and me. We need to know our Bibles. A group of children, I love this, a group of children were asked some biblical questions. And they gave some interesting answers. I'm not going to read the questions to you because they're irrelevant. Their answers are what are awesome. Check this out. Here was one answer. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. How about this? Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Okay, you're going to love this. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Samson slayed the Philistines with the axe of the apostles. Okay, here you go. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he did. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. The people who followed Jesus were called the decibels. There you go. The wives of the apostles were called the epistles. One more. Christians are only to have one spouse. It's called monotony. Those are real answers. But folks, you know what? You see how funny that is? It's not funny when Christians don't know their Bibles and they start instituting legalism and laws that are not found in the Bible. They start saying you've got to do this or that, otherwise you're not saved, otherwise you're not a real Christian, otherwise this or that. We have to be careful, because that's not funny. When we don't know our Bibles, when we don't know that we have freedom, when we start beating people over the head with the Bible, not good. As children, we're not to beat each other. We're to encourage and remind each other of our Heavenly Father, because we are free in deeds. Verse 6. He who observes the day, observes it, look at this, to the Lord. See, it doesn't matter what day you observe, as long as you're observing it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, the Lord, he does not observe. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, the Lord, or to the Lord, he does not eat. And I'm going to have to put these on. Okay, let's try this again, folks. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat, the Lord does to the Lord, he does not eat. He gives God thanks. Okay, there you go. All right. So what he's talking about here is, as long as you're, whatever you're doing, if you're giving thanks to the Lord, if you're going to eat and you give thanks to the Lord, great. If you don't eat, so therefore, you know, there's nothing to give thanks for. I'm not going to do this at this time, but I'm still not doing it for the grace of God. That's all good. These are material and external. Paul wants to focus on the eternal and the internal. Not the material and the external, but the internal and the eternal. Some people are caught up in loving a particular day, or loving to go to church instead of loving the Lord. See, there's a huge difference, folks. Whatever we do, we are to do it unto the Lord. Whatever we do. So you go, okay, you know what, Pastor? I want to exercise this freedom. Great. Are you doing it unto the Lord? Well, how can I do that? I'm going to be doing this. How do you do that to the Lord? He wouldn't be pleased with this. Aha. Yeah. Now we're cooking with grease. You know, I've often said there are some people, you know, who, here you go, give you an example. I like going to the movies. Who go to the movie, and because of the movie that they're going to watch, they have to leave the Holy Spirit in the car. You won't want to see this one. Really? Of course, that's not a reality, because you can't leave the Holy Spirit somewhere. But you just, it's what you want to do in your heart. The things that you want to do, if Jesus Christ were to come down in the flesh and stand with you, would you say, hey, let's go get some drinks? I bet you wouldn't, would you? Hey, let's go watch a rated R movie. Lots of nudity and profanity. You wouldn't do that, would you? Whatever you do, we are to do it unto the Lord. Hey, Jesus, want a hit? No, it's you wouldn't do that. Yet so many Christians want to take that liberty, and they say, I'm okay with it. Okay, but you know in your heart, nobody has to tell you that it's wrong. Nobody has to tell you. You know You can feel it. There's like a little heart check. There's a little bit of guilt. There's a little bit of something. You just suppress it. How do I know this? Deuteronomy 15:20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods, here you go, and serve them, it takes over your life. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. In other words, you got freedom, free in your deeds. That both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Brothers and sisters, every day we have life and death, blessings and cursings, and you get to choose which ones you're going to partake in. Every single day. Let's look at the praising in verse 7 through 11. For none of us live to himself. No one dies to himself. And we just celebrated the life of an awesome, awesome man yesterday. And it was just amazing the many people that he has touched and affected. But that goes for the godly and the ungodly. The ungodly have an effect on people's lives too. For no one lives unto himself and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Paul is saying, what I do, what you do, what we do affects others. I've often said this, no man's an island, no woman's an island. I've often said, this is a great analogy, only analogy that I can think of, but let's say we're all on a ship, and we all have bunks, and your bunk is, you know, our bunk is way down on the bottom of the ship, the lowest level, and you decide to lift up your bunk and start drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? You're going to sink the boat. And you say, never mind, it's under my cot. What effect does it have on you? Whatever you do in your life affects the church, affects the body of Christ, affects your family, affects your friends. It affects everyone. You know, if you engage in sin and people know you come to HBC, we all feel the effect. Because then people go, oh, that church is full of hypocrites. That church, I don't want to go there. Did you see the pastor? He was over at the strip club getting drunk. I don't do that. But it's happened before. How would you feel? How would you feel if someone told you, oh, I saw your pastor getting high down the road. Would you want to come here? No, but it's okay for you. If people go, oh, yeah, you know, hey, pastor, some of your parishioners were doing this or that. I was like, you know, hey, we're all sinners. Listen, whatever you and I do, it affects everybody. Hebrews 12, remember, we've looked at this several times, but I want to read it again. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of witnesses that are watching what you and I do, and what you and I do affects what they are going to think of Jesus Christ. What does your witness look like as you exercise your freedoms? Hmm. Notice that he says, therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. There's an interesting verse. You might want to write it on the side of your margin. Interesting verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, there was a dispute in the Corinthian church because some people were saying, you know what? I'd rather follow Paul. And others were saying, oh, really? I like Apollos. He's more charismatic. And some would say, well, I like Cephas, Peter. He actually lived and walked with Jesus. And so Paul is addressing this division in the church. And here's what he says. Very interesting. He says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world. Here you go. Or life or death or present things or things to come are all yours. You are Christ's and Christ is God's. Do you realize that? You're like, what? Life is yours and guess what? Death is yours. Yay. Party. No, it is. I've shared with this story before. Sitting with Riley, we're having a sandwich. I said, Riley, what is death? Without missing a beat, she goes, it's our reward. Amen. Life is ours. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so as long as we live, we're to be an image, a reflection of Jesus Christ in the things we say, things we do, the way we act, and the things we partake in. That should be our goal. Not how much I can do and still be a Christian. No, how much can I look like Jesus Christ? Why? Because I love him. I want to look like him. Verse 9. For to this end Christ died and rose again. For this end Christ died and rose and lived again. That he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. That he might be the Lord of both the Lord of the dead and the living. Because we're flawed. I'm flawed. We're flawed. We're sinners. He died because we all need a Savior. So important. I'm not your Savior, and you are not my Savior. We are brothers and sisters. I'm not here to tell you how you should live. I'm here to live for Him. You're not here to tell me how I should live. You're here to live for Him. But if we can all line up with scriptures, if we can all know our Bibles, if we can all point to the Word, how much better off will we be? That's his point here. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or who do you show contempt? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. We are all equal in the sight of God. We are all free to choose how we will live, blessed or not blessed. We are all to make a stand for Christ here, because one day we will all kneel before him. There's a thing I've seen on Facebook and on bumper stickers and t-shirts. Have you ever seen this? Stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Okay, you know that's wrong. You know why it's wrong? Well, stand for something. Well, that is falling for anything. Okay, I'll stand for, heroin addicts, that they should be, should be legalized. I'm standing for something. I'm standing for abortion. Everyone should be able to have abortions. Kill babies. No. Don't stand for something or you'll fall for anything. No. Stand for the truth or you'll fall for anything. We see that happening all over the place anymore. I'm not going to get political on you, but stand for the truth. Don't just stand for something. We are to understand that I'm not to judge what you stand on or fall on. I'm only to live by the Scripture. And if you claim to be a Christian, I'm going to hold you to Scripture, not to my ideas, not to traditions. How do you know? How do you know if something is my opinion or tradition? How do you know? Yeah. If someone comes up to you, well, you've got to do this and that. Okay, show me in Scripture. Okay, let's go to the Old Testament. Where is it in the New Testament? I want to see it in both. Well, it's really not something established. Oh, okay, so maybe there's something we need to study here. Or the really bad thing is when, well, I know it's not in the Scripture, but... Okay. You don't want to follow the Bible? Guess what? You're free in deeds, but I'm going to follow the Bible. How about be productive? I'm going very fast. Verse 12 through 13. So let each... So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fail in our brother's way. Okay. If I'm so busy looking at what you're doing wrong, am I looking at what I'm doing? No. Why? I've known people that are so good to say, oh, look what they're doing. Oh, how can they do this? And look what they're doing. And look what they're doing. I'm looking at them going, okay, well, what about you? I pray to God that I can always be harder on myself than I would any of y'all. Why? Once again, I'm the biggest sinner I know. No matter what you do, I'm worse. So I need to work on me. And notice he says here, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Put a stumbling block. In other words, you've got to do this or that. And if you don't do it and you fall and stumble, see, that's a stumbling block. When we put something legalistic that you have to jump through a hoop, that's not done in love. That's done out of legalism. And when we become legalistic, we always will fail. Love never fails. The law does fail. Or he says this, or cause to fall in our brother's way. How would I cause a stumbling block in your way? Is by me exercising liberties that are not right in front of you. By me exercising liberties and then posting it on Facebook or posting it on Twitter and going, hey, I did this, I did that, I did this. It's like, wow, you're a Christian. Does that bring glory to God? We have to be careful not to stumble our brothers. We have to be careful that the things we do are glorifying to God. And here you go. We're all going to have our works judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 15. We were in chapter 3 earlier. We're going back there. It says this. For we are God's fellow worker. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone lays on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So what is he saying there? He's saying this. We're all going to have works. Some of our works is going to be straw, some of it's going to be gold, and we're going to put it in a fire, and it's going to get burned up, and whatever comes out of the fire, that becomes our reward. Now, let's say I live my whole life and then I go to heaven and everything gets put in there and it comes out and all that's on the tray is ash. I'm still saved. I just don't have any reward. Still saved. But wouldn't you love to have massive award because you did the things that please God? Because you denied yourself, according to Scripture, the things that you knew weren't good? I don't want to split hairs over legalism. I don't want to be legalistic. Whatever you are convicted of, whatever you know you shouldn't do, don't do. And if you've had a problem before, don't play with fire. Don't return to your vomit. Why do you want to do that? But if you do, then know that's why your life is a mess. Because I guarantee you, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. How about this? What if there was an unbeliever? And let's say we were a church that said, you can't smoke, you can't dance, you can't celebrate Halloween, you can't do the Macarena, you can't do any of those things. And let's say there's an unbeliever and we tell them, here's a list of things you can't do. And then they go, okay, and they don't do any of those things, but they never accept Christ. What good is that? That's what legalism does. Legalism puts all its focus on these things and puts the things that are valuable aside. You know, here's a thought. What if you could change the price tag of everything in the world based on what you find valuable? Give you an example. My wife, she loves minivans. I love Corvettes. She would make minivans very, very cheap and Corvettes even more expensive than they are. Why? Because she would like to have a minivan, make them cheap. I would make minivans very expensive and Corvettes very cheap. Because that's what I like. Or how about this? If I went into a museum and there was a Picasso, and I go, gosh, you'd be lucky to get $50 for that. His nose is over here. His eyes are over there. Who painted this? A three-year-old? I'll take that $500,000 or the $5 million and I'll put it on the Marvel 3D picture. That's cool. Look at how the Hulk's fist comes out at you. That's awesome. $5 million. That's great. You see, listen, as Christians, we're not to put the value on things. The Word of God puts the value. God says, this is precious in my sight. This is not. But what do? Well, I'd like to do that, so I'm going to change these price tags. We need to follow God's value, not our own value. And I need to not put my value on you and your value on me. We need to have His value on us. And Jesus Christ is the most valuable and the most precious, and there is no equal. Brothers and sisters, as we conclude this two-parter, you are free indeed. Do whatever you want. Just be ready to pay the consequences. And remember that people are watching you, Christian. And if you're not a Christian, why not? It's the best thing I ever did in my life. And He has set me free. And I've never had more peace or joy in my life. Now, I'm not saying no, I don't have trials. I have trials. I'm just saying that I can have peace in the trial. And so can you. We're about to take communion. And when we take communion, what communion is all about, communion is about remembering what Christ did for us so that He could set us free. Free from what? All the bondage, all the sin that used to control my life. And I want to offer that to you. And here's the thing. As the ushers come up and we're going to pray over the elements and the worship team comes up, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you realize this? For me to say you have to come forward and you have to stand there and you have to pray this prayer, that's legalism. Now, you can do that, and that's one way to be saved. But I want to encourage you. You can ask Jesus Christ in your heart right where you're at, and then you can take the cracker and the juice and you can remember His sacrifice right where you're at. There's no ritual. There's no hoops you have to jump through. It's just a surrendered heart. But I will say this. If you are not a Christian this morning, don't take the elements. The elements are for believers. And if you're not a believer, it's not a snack. There's snacks in the fellowship hall. If you're not a believer, I want to encourage you to surrender your heart so that you can partake with us. So we're going to bow our heads and pray. When the cups come around, I want you to hold on to them. There's two. Separate them. Hold on to them. If you're not a believer, ask Christ into your heart, confess your sins, and then partake with us. But if you don't want to do that, just let the tray pass. No one's going to look funny at you. We're not legalistic here. We're just biblical. And the Bible says that it's for believers. It actually says that if you're not a believer and you take it in a pure manner, people get sick in the church and some die. So it's a serious matter, and that's biblical, not my opinion. It's biblical. So I want to encourage you not to take communion if you don't want it, but why not surrender your heart to Christ? Father God, we pray for the elements this morning. We pray that they would be reminders of what you did for us on the cross. Father God, that we would freely partake because we love you and because we want to please you and because it's a reminder of all that you have sacrificed, Lord, and it causes us to confess our sins. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone in here, that they would just ask you into their life. And if they do that, that they would come up and talk to one of the leadership, talk to me, and let us know of that decision. But in the meantime, bless the elements, bless the ushers, bless the worship. And Father, we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on to the elements. We are going to partake together. Lord, we thank you that our lives, first of all, were created by your hand, and then our lives were cleansed and forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank you that you want us to come before you just as we are, just as I am. Lord, we can't even begin to say thank you. But I know, Lord, as we hold these elements in our hand, Lord, in the bread, which symbolizes your body that was broken. And Lord, your word says it for the joy that was set before you. Us, we were the joy set before you. You endured the breaking of your body, not a bone, but the ripping and the tearing of your flesh in the most horrific way. Because that is how ugly and grotesque and violent our sin is in your presence. And so, Father, as we prepare to take this bread, may we confess our sins before you and know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's partake of the bread. And Lord, as we hold this cup, which is a symbol of the crimson blood that poured from your body onto the earth to redeem the souls of men and women and children for all eternity. Father, we thank you that your word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no washing away of our sin. But Lord, we come believing and trusting wholly and solely upon the blood of Christ. And so as I hold this cup, may it remind me, may it be a symbol of the precious blood of the most beautiful Savior. Let's partake of the cup. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. May we become those who learn the word not to beat other people over the head, but use it as a scalpel, Lord, to cut away the sins from our own life so that we can enjoy sweet, sweet fellowship with you, that we would walk in the path of blessings and not curses. May we not compromise. May we be more concerned with our own walk than pointing the finger at others. May we love you and love our brothers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.